You're Locked On Senators, your daily podcast on the Ottawa Senators. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
I'm Jake Sanderson, and you're listening to Locked On Senators Podcast.
I'm Tim Stützle, and you're listening to the Locked On Senators Podcast.
Welcome inside episode 433 of the Locked On Senators Podcast. I'm Ross Levitan on the outskirts of enemy territory in Winnipeg, Manitoba, alongside Brandon Piller up in the Blue Mountains, and no Sens hockey, not at least for a week. So, great time to bring on a friend of the show, TSN hockey analyst and Stanley Cup champion Craig Button, for a way too early look at the 2022 draft. We also have some amazing Jerome Iginla stories. Craig, of course, drafted Iginla in Dallas and then was his general manager in Calgary. So some awesome stories, insight onto the Senators season. We went over half an hour with them, so let's get right to it. This is the Locked On Senators Podcast, your team every day. Today is Wednesday, November 17th, and Pilsy, alternate reality, the Sens beat the Devils last night. We finally do a show after a win.
Hey, they didn't lose to the Devils. That, yes, I can tell you with 100% certainty, so that's all right. It would have been nice to see them play the Devils, especially the Devils are an interesting team, but we'll catch them later, that's for sure.
Well, your 100% certainty does not translate to your gambling. Why don't we hit on that right now and get right to Craig Button? Because we went long with Craig. I told him 15 minutes, the old 15 minutes. We went over half an hour with Craig, and it's always awesome to have him because he was truly, we had a few Senators guests before that, but he was the first like national stage guest that we had. Really helped the credibility of our show.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we owe a lot of thanks to Craig. And every time Craig is on the show, it's good for a couple laughs, some and draft chirps. Insights, some chirps, definitely. And I mean, when you have the experience that he has in the hockey world, what a brain to pick when it comes to all things Ottawa Senators and NHL hockey.
And he gave 100% guarantee on something Sens fans will
something
be very
I will not be doing.
Excited about. But you do have a parlay of the day, so let's get right to it. BetOnline is the official sponsor of the Locked On Podcast Network. This interview is brought to you by BetOnline.ag. You can go there right now and sign up for a free account. When you do, make sure you use promo code Locked On. That's promo code Locked On at BetOnline.ag so that when you fade Pilsy, you just double your money. It's that easy, Pilsy. What happened with your parlay last night?
I mean, of course, the Arizona Coyotes, of course, they win their second game all year round when I decide to come back and bet on them and say that's an easy one to make.
Oh my God.
That's definitely right for the course here. But we're back in the action. It's betonline.ag. Don't sit on the sidelines. I'm getting in on the action once again. Not a lot of games tonight, so here we go. I'm looking at the Colorado Avalanche beating the Vancouver Canucks. The Canucks have been struggling. The Avalanche are on their way up. So that seems good, right? Like, that doesn't seem too crazy of a bet to make, right, Ross? Money line at minus 150 makes sense to me.
I'm going under and Canucks.
You're going the under there? All right, that's fair.
No,
that's
I'm
fair.
Just fading you.
Oh, I honestly don't blame you at all for fading me. And I don't blame anyone for fading me because we're coming up on 13 consecutive Pilsy's parlay of the day is not working. But this is going to be the one. Just you wait. And then for the second part of this parlay, Blackhawks, Kraken. I think there's going to be some back and forth scoring here. Both these teams are near the bottom of the league. Chicago's actually looking pretty good lately, so I'm hoping they can score a couple goals and the Kraken will bounce back too. So I'm hitting the over at 5.5 is minus 115. Put 10 bucks in. Hopefully you're going to win 21-16. That's Pilsy's parlay of the day.
Just like at Jordy Sens, you should tweet at us at Sens Central when you fade Pilsy and he helps you make some money. So go to betonline.ag, use promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. It's BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, here he is, TSN's Director of Scouting. It's Craig Button.
It is your fault.
Oh, damn it. All right, well, that's a great place to start. We now welcome a very special guest. He's been on the show before. He actually gave a lot of credibility to the show the first couple times he was on. You know him as an NHL analyst and director of scouting with TSN, but he's also a Stanley Cup champion who just saw a player he helped draft be inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame. Craig Button, welcome back to Locked On Senators. How are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm really good, Ross. Really a pleasure to join you once again. And, you know, yeah, it's interesting when you think back in time and you think, you know, a player, any player, the dreams, they grow up dreaming about winning the Stanley Cup. They don't grow up about, and they dream about scoring the winning goal in overtime in game seven. That's what kids grow up doing. They don't dream of scoring 500 goals or 50 goals or being in the Hall of Fame. They dream, you know, those things of raising that Stanley Cup above their head. But, you know, you think about watching Jerome Iginla from the time I watched him, and, you know, and then not only watching him play, watching him grow and you know, as a person, as a player. And you know, his three kids are with him at the Hall of Fame, and you're watching Jade and Tej and Joe and his wife, Kara, who he's been with forever. You know, it's amazing. He's coaching his kids now. And I think to myself, wow, that wasn't that long ago when you were just that age. And, you know, you were trying to find your way and you had your goals and aspirations. So to watch him and to see him, you know, be inducted to the Hockey Hall of Fame, I you know, you've probably heard this and you hear about a lot of people. But, you know, Jerome was a great player. He's an even better person.
Yeah, I believe that. I mean, I think even hockey fans that weren't Calgary Flames fans had a respect for Jerome Iginla. And I would have loved, and I want to get your opinion on this, what was he like in junior when you first got your first look at him? I'm looking at his Hockey DB right now, and with the Kamloops Blazers in 95-96, he had 136 points in 63 games and scored a goal per game point, 63 goals in 63 games. Just how dominant was Jerome Iginla in his junior days?
Well, I mean, he was dominant, and you know, he was on a top-notch team. You know, the first time we saw Jerome, was in the Memorial Cup in 1994. He was a 16-year-old player. So they had lots of good players. They had lots of players that were, you were always watching, you know, for the draft. So, you know, the underage players, you know, at that time, you know, it was pretty obvious that Jerome and Shane Doan were pretty promising prospects. So, you know, you saw them at the Memorial Cup and you just saw, you know, that as young players, they were counted upon and did deliver, you know, significant contributions. Then the next year in his draft year, what a lot of people forget and is that there was a lockout that year in the NHL, 94-95. And a lot of NHL teams stopped scouting and literally stopped scouting. The season, you know, resumed in January. Our organization in Dallas, we didn't stop scouting. So we didn't have to do a catch up, so to speak, on the players. You know, I feel that a lot of teams have to do a lot of catch up. You know, you're trying to, you know, find out players, you're trying to see players. We just kept our rhythm. And so we had a really, I think a strong sense of confidence in the players from that draft, Jerome amongst them, that really, you know, said, hey, this is a player that, you know, you watch him play, you've watched him grow. And now you arrive at this point where you're coming to make a selection. And it was, you know, it's never one player that you're looking at. You're always looking at multiple players. And certainly Jerome was in that group. But when it came to 11 and Jerome was there, it was obvious for us who we were going to take. And history shows who we did take. And, you know, then the next year, you know, he was traded. A lot of people, this is the other thing people forget. When we traded for Joe Nieuwendyk in December of 1995, our team was terrible in Dallas. We were not a team trying to get to the next level. We were not a team trying to find that player that would push us over the top. We were a bad team, and we were looking to build out our team. And, you know, we had Madonna. We had some really good young players, Jerome amongst them. And, you know, to find a centerman like Joe Nieuwendyk to complement Mike Madonna, you know, we'd been searching for a centerman for a couple of years, and they tried to trade for centermen. They tried to sign some centermen in free agency. But Al Coates, the general manager of the Calgary Flames at the time, he was laser focused. You want to talk about Joe Nieuwendyk, you better talk about Jerome Iginla. And that, you know, that made us, that put the hair on our necks up. And, You know, I remember being in November. It was November. Les Jackson, who was our assistant general manager, and myself were watching Jerome play, and we had lunch with him. And Les said, he goes, he could play for our team right now and help us. Like, right now and help us. I mean, so when you look at that year, you know, that's November of 95. He gets traded in December of 95. He dominates the World Junior. You know, as Canada wins gold, he continues on to that spectacular season, a goal a game, steps into the NHL in the playoffs versus Chicago, gets his first point in his first game, scores his first NHL goal. I mean, you think about it, and then everywhere along the path. I mean, Jerome was a massive contributor, and you know, not only what he did on the ice, but what he did off the ice as well. So, you know, it's, you know, I can go back to a lot of different moments when it comes to Jerome Iginla, and you'll never find a time when there's not a smile on my face. Well, maybe there is once.
Well, what, the day you were trying to get Calgary to go with good Alberta boy, your first rounder from the year before there, Jason Botterill, like, you could have had a little play there, but 1,300 points, that is absolutely spectacular when you look at the career of Jerome Iginla. He went in, speaking of Locked On Senators, right? Marion Hossa, the first ever drafted Ottawa Senators player. This is some revisionist history, which I know you just love going down. But do you think that he could have had the same career had Ottawa never moved on from him after the 04-05 season?
Yeah, I mean, what I would say to you, Ross, is that, you know, great players find a way to be great regardless of where they are. And I don't think that would have been any different for Marion Hossa. You know, for Marion, you know, when you watched him play, I mean, he was a difference maker. And, you know, so he gets traded, and, you know, everywhere he went from the time I watched him as a 16-year-old player all the way through to the end of his career, he was a difference maker. He's a difference maker in Ottawa. He was a difference maker in Atlanta, Pittsburgh, Detroit. I mean, so difference makers, you know, those are questions that we ask. And what I would say to you is look at Jerome. Like, Jerome came to the Calgary Flames when they were in a downtime. And you know, that's the other unique thing about Jerome is that, you know, they'd been used to so much success with the Calgary Flames, and they had these young players, and Jerome was the face of the young players who, and he ultimately became the face of the franchise. He didn't make the playoffs for 7 years in his first 7 years in the league. I mean, that was despite, you know, leading the league in scoring, leading the league in goal scoring, being the Lester Pearson winner, being a first team all-star, you know? So I think that Marion, there's no question that Marion would have been a great player no matter where he played, because that's what they do. They find a way to make a difference. And as a manager, what you have to do, and this was my only focus, you know, with the team, is you want to build it so that the individual players can have success. Remember what I said at the beginning. What do players grow up dreaming about? Winning the Stanley Cup. So as a manager, you want to put your team in a position to compete for the Stanley Cup, and ultimately the players to experience winning the Stanley Cup. And that, you know, that's where it meshes. That's where it meshes there. And so, you know, Marion, you know, you look at 08 when he lost in the Stanley Cup final, and 09 when he lost in the Stanley Cup final. And then he finds himself there in 2010, and he's probably thinking, oh boy, I don't believe in jinxes, but I wonder if Marion was thinking, I hope I'm not a jinx here, because if he lost a third straight Stanley Cup final with a third different team, he might have gone someplace to try to exercise demons.
Yep.
Yeah, that definitely would have been a tough one for Marion there. Obviously, no fault of his own, as he was a great player, especially in the playoffs. Now, look, as Sens fans, we're happy a Senator that was drafted by the team is in the Hall of Fame, but the real work isn't really done here, Craig. I mean, we, Ross and I, every year the Hall of Fame inductees come out, we make our case for Daniel Alfredson to go in as a player, or Brian Murray to be inducted as a Builder. Now, which of those two do you think should or will happen first? Because both of these guys, they got to get in eventually, right?
Well, I mean, we have a passion for people that have been part of the game and contribute significantly to the game, both in Brian's case and certainly in Daniel's case. You know, I would say that the Daniel's case is pretty rock solid.
It, yeah.
You know, and you know, considering a builder for the Hall of Fame is a different exercise than a player. I'll tell you what I say about players, whether it be Dino Ciccarelli, who got into the Hall of Fame after a long wait, whether it was Phil Housley, whether it was Kevin Lowe and Doug Wilson this year. We have these debates all the time and discussions. Why aren't they in the Hall of Fame? And I said this about Doug and Kevin, is that like once you're in the Hall of Fame, it doesn't matter how long it took you to get there. You're always a Hall of Famer. And so Daniel Alfredson, in my view, is going to be in the Hall of Fame. And, you know, I know for Alfredson fans and for Senators fans, you start to think, well, we need him in there now. We want him in there. And you do.
We need some good news here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, fair enough. But I have no doubt in my mind that Daniel's a Hall of Famer. And, you know, Guy Carbonneau, look at how long, the many years it took him. Right. So, like, I mean, but once you're a Hall of Famer, you're always a Hall of Famer. And nobody goes, wow, they didn't elect you for 12 years. Doesn't matter. Nobody talks like that. You're a Hall of Famer. And I think that Daniel is worthy of induction to the Hockey Hall of Fame. I believe that his day will come and, you know, we'll celebrate it as he deserves to be celebrated. And, you know, when you look at what Brian did, both as a coach and as a manager, you know, in terms of building teams and coaching teams and dotted with lots of success in and around him in different places. Certainly you're looking at somebody that is worthy of induction into the Hockey Hall of Fame, in my view as well.
Well, until that day comes, we're going to be tooting the horn and making sure everybody knows our thoughts on it. And I want to get your thoughts on the first 15 games for the Senators. And it's of course a tale of two stories. One, yeah, they start slow out of the gate, but then they're chipping away at their roster five straight days with positive COVID cases and 10 guys ultimately when they get shut out 4-0 from Calgary. How does that affect how you evaluate the start of the season for Ottawa?
Oh, I mean, you have to take it into consideration. I mean, you're playing shorthanded, right? And that is a factor. And you know, no team is positioned to play without 4 or 5 players, let alone 8, 9, 10 players. They just aren't. And, you know, for the Ottawa Senators, for them to try to, get their situation stable and get players healthy, you know, it was the right call. It's the right move. Because the other thing you don't want to do individually as a player or collectively as a team, you get bruised. It becomes a real battering type thing because you know you're going into the game, you're going to give everything you got, but you know what the result's going to be at the end of the game. And that's not what competition is about. And, you know, the players are competitors and the players, you know, want to ensure that they have a legitimate chance to be on the right side of the score at the end of the game. When you're short that many players, you don't have a legitimate chance. So you have to factor it in. And, you know, certainly it sets you back. And certainly, you know, it puts the Senators in a different place with respect to the record, you know, what the record could look like at the end of the year. There's going to be some compacting of the schedule at some point in time. And so that all factors in. And if you didn't factor it in, then I think that it would be as cold as it was in Edmonton on Tuesday night when Mexico had to come and play Canada in the CONCACAF qualifying.
Hope you're enjoying our chat with Craig J. Button. We'll get right back to it. But first, we got to tell you about our friends at Built Bar. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. If you've listened to Locked On Senators, you know that Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. And it comes in so many amazing flavors as well. You may as well try the mix box. But when you get that mix box, it's overwhelming. So Pilsy, let these people know your parlays suck, but your picks are undefeated.
Yeah, definitely. There's one thing I can guarantee, and that's that you are going to love Built Bars. And just to make sure I get that guarantee right, I'm going to hit you with the best Built Bar flavor, in my opinion, Ross. That is the coconut brownie chunk.
Woo!
Every bar is covered in 100% chocolate. You guys know that. Then there's that light, flaky coconut filling in the inside. And if that doesn't sound good already, why not get brownie chunks on top? Real brownie chunks, guys. None of this fake healthy stuff. These are the real deal with these brownies, but the bar is healthy itself, only 150 calories, 15 grams of protein, and a whole lot of delicious flavor.
Ooh, go see it for yourself right now. Go to built.com. That's built.com and use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off your next order. That's 15% off with promo code LOCKED15 at built.com. It's Built Bar, the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. All right, now back to our interview with Craig Button.
Obviously, it's been a tough start for the Ottawa Senators here, and COVID hasn't helped that, like we talked about. But Craig, the thing for us, that Ross and I, that's been very intriguing is this was a quiet offseason for the Ottawa Senators. And it was especially intriguing because Pierre Dorion made a bold proclamation that the rebuild is over. And then they had one of the most quiet offseasons ever, where they signed Drake Batherson late. Brady Tkachuk doesn't get an extension till opening day. And we're sitting here wondering, why did management think that a few moves, acquiring Holden, signing Delzotto, was going to be enough to move this team out of rebuild contention and be more competitive than last season? Like, what was your thoughts on what Pierre Dorion said and how they managed this offseason?
Yeah, well, it's always interesting, you know, when you hear a comment like that, and you know, you kind of go, okay, I think I understand, the premise of what he's trying to do. Hey, let's stop talking about rebuilding. But the bottom line is, you know, it's semantics. You're still building, like you're building, and you're not even close to being a finished product. So what it does is it creates expectations, and in most cases it creates unrealistic expectations, which ultimately leads to realistic disappointment. Right?
Yep.
And so now what ends up happening is now, you know, and when you make a comment like that, all it gets key, it's replayed time and time.
It's the headliner for articles coming up.
Yeah, it is, right? So, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, being practical, you can be optimistic, practical at the same time. And I think that Pierre is optimistic, and he should be. I really do believe that the future for the Ottawa Senators is bright. It is. I think there's every reason to be optimistic about the future. But, you know, the comment wasn't, I think if Pierre, you know, had a chance to have a do-over, I don't think he would make that comment today. But, you know, you live with it, and now you have to, like, I think one of the things is that, you know, if it was me, I would just say, listen, you know what? I made a comment. You know, I said the rebuild's over because maybe I wanted it to be over, right? the reality of it is we got a lot of work to do, and we're going to have to work, but we're excited about what's in the pipeline. What we're excited about, what we have on the ice with our young players. We're excited about having the players under contract long term, and now we're going to continue to build it. And let's not focus in on what I said earlier in the year, because again, you look at it, you look at an organization with not only good players already playing for the Senators, but some really, really good players in the system, like really good players in the system. And so I think that's where the focus needs to be, you know, centered around, and, you know, take it off of about the rebuild's over. If the rebuild was, you know, maybe the rebuild was over, but the building was never over.
Yep, and now we get to keep a keen eye on Craigslist for the 2022 NHL draft. Before we get to that, though, I want to continue on, because when Pierre Dorion speaks, they're bold statements often. This isn't the first time. Proudest day as GM when you trade away Mark Stone. Eric Brandstrom comes in. Has he been given a full-on opportunity? That's a story that we can argue about, but it's been tough for him, right? He got to camp late last year with COVID and then broke his hand in his first real chance this year. And next year, he doesn't have the exemption from waivers. If you're a GM of Ottawa, do you have to make a decision on his future before this trade deadline?
Well, I mean, I think that you're always trying to make assessments of where a player is at today, what more he can become, what more he needs to become, what you think he can become. And, you know, you're constantly working in that sphere, you know, along that continuum, right? I mean, other teams are watching. You know, it's amazing to me, and I know in my years in management, you know, you talk about players, and you sit down and you go, well, this player would be, well, he's not playing very good. The history that I have is that players that are playing really good usually aren't available for trade. The players
unless
that
you
do, the players you do get, well, I mean, they're leading into the trade deadline with players that are coming up to be free agents. Right. That's a different story. But you're always trying to assess players. I'll share a story with you. Troy Terry, who I've watched for a long time and is having a fantastic year with Anaheim, a couple years ago in the American Hockey League, I thought he was one of the best players outside the NHL. And in a list that I do in the spring, he was right near the top. Well, it took him a little while to get there. And last year, I talked to a few NHL teams, and they were talking about players. I said, well, I think a player that would be really worthwhile to explore would be Troy Terry. You know what I heard? Wow, you know, we don't have a lot of our scouts haven't seen, you know, some of the reports aren't great. You haven't seen him play good. I said, well, the time is to get him is now if you think he could be good. Because, you know, if he's playing good, they're not. And I was never suggesting that Anaheim was trying to move him anyway. I just said, you explore it. Well, one of the teams sent me a note this season and go, you're right about Troy Terry. So the reason I take it back there, it's not about being right or wrong, or you're going to be right, hopefully more than you're wrong. Because if you're wrong more than you're right, you're not going to be working. So, you know, but you know, with Eric Brandstrom, you know, you try to take again, you try to assess all the things that he's had to go through, you know, and you try to put that into a perspective. Okay, here's what we see in him. What can he be? Could he be something different? And in a different environment, has he been given the right opportunity? You know, and the Ottawa Senators have to ask themselves that question as well. You know, one of the keys to player evaluation, everybody's scouting, but you got to scout your own players. The key is knowing your player really well so that you can make those assessments. You know, no, we're not trading it. No, we are committed to, or, you know, we'll consider it along these lines, or, you know, maybe we don't see a future for you here. Those are all possibilities, but you got to dive in and dig in internally on your own scouting and say, what can he be? And really, quite frankly, you have to be really open to it. And everybody has to be involved. Like when I say everybody, like DJ, okay, you're the coach here. Have we given him a fair opportunity? Have we given him allowance to do it? Okay, our development group, what do you see in Belleville? Like, you know, can he do more? Does he show more, right? You know, okay, Scott, we made a big trade here for getting him for Mark Stone. We thought he was a significant piece. Is he, right? You gotta be brutally, brutally, bluntly honest with yourselves to make a proper assessment. So, and don't rely on what he was. I think this is where a lot of times teams make mistakes. We're not dealing with what he was. What is he today? And what could he be tomorrow? And if you don't get to that point, you're going to make mistakes.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens with Eric Brandstrom moving here. Yeah, I think we're all going to be watching very closely to that. And Craig, you mentioned the Senators' future is very bright. So let's talk a bit about the future. And it's good timing since you just released your Craigslist coming up here on TSN. So I want to ask you, and this is a question I often ask prospect analysts, reporters, et cetera, scouts, is the Ottawa Senators, where the team is desperate for a true centerman, right? They're going to need a true centerman in the future. Which of the players on your Craigslist that are going to be in the Ottawa Senators range for the first round would you say they should look at targeting? And not the center slash wingers that, sure, they're playing center and junior, but they're going to go to the wing when they reach the pros. Who is a guy that you think could stay as a centerman once he reaches the NHL?
How about Shane Wright?
Yeah, that sounds good to me. Yeah, that would be my first answer too. Let's go.
Why don't we just start at the top, right? Like, why don't we, you know? So I think that's an easy one, right? Like, but like, you know, so then, you know, Logan Cooley is a terrific, terrific centerman, and you know, he's number two on my list. But you know, he's a centerman that can do it all. I mean, he really can. I mean, he's quick, he's fast, he's detailed. He's a number one center. That's what he is. He's a number one center. That's what he just screams, number one center. You know, Juraj Slafkovský is a big 6'4" Slovakian center. Now he plays wing at times, but you know, with his age group and in that age group, he's a centerman. So, you know, I see him as a centerman. I see him as a big, imposing centerman that can think the game and can, you know, impact the game in a lot of different ways with his skills, with and imposing himself on opponents and everything. You know, I don't think he's got the same high-end offensive ability of Cooley and Wright, but you're looking at a really, really strong centerman that can be there. Matty Savoy, who's a different centerman, and I'm not so sure. I keep asking myself, and I've watched Matty play since he was 14. You know, I keep asking myself, you know, would he be better on the wing when he can get the puck? But I watch him in the middle deliver the puck, and like, you know, and really what I get to is you know, he's just a really good player, and you know, really good players. You know, I don't know if he clearly defines that center ice position, but he's a really strong player with his playmaking. When he was younger, he was a goal scorer. Well, now they're taking away the shot. Now he's becoming a real top-notch playmaker. And ultimately, they're going to try to take away the passing, and the shot's going to come back into play. So he's really dangerous. He's multiply dangerous. His teammate, Connor Geeky, is a 6'3" centerman that, to me, reminds me at the same stage of the game as Logan Couture. So, you know, you're talking about, you know, so I'm talking about players, you know, when we talk about centermen, right, we're talking about, you know, some guys, and quite frankly, I think those guys all can be centermen. I'm not mentioning these players and not thinking they can't be centermen. And, you know, so, I mean, those are the guys that fall into the top end of Craigslist. Are they the only guys? No, because there's different positions that you could look at, right? But when you talk about the center ice position, those guys certainly fit the bill. There's no question about it.
And we recommend everyone go check out Craigslist, tsn.ca. Craig, final question for me. I'm heading down to the Ralph this weekend. I'm going to North Dakota. I'm going to go see Jake Sanderson, Tyler Cleven, and the Nodak Sens in action. What can I expect from the atmosphere? Because all I hear over and over again is it's like the holy grail of hockey.
You've never been?
Never been.
Well, I hope you don't drive into a ditch.
It wouldn't be my first time.
Yeah, here. Get the snow tires on, maybe, Ross.
Yeah. Do you have snow tires on, Ross?
I will this week. Just, you know, a little late on the upkeep there.
What do you mean you will this week? You know, there's no better time than right now, today. Like, seriously. Like
planting a tree, eh? The best times 5 years ago, second best times today.
Listen, you're in Winnipeg. Like stop it. Like, get there. But what I can tell you is it is a great atmosphere. They love their North Dakota hockey team. You know, last year they had a real nice run before they lost in overtime in the NCAAs. You know what you're going to see? You're going to get down there and you're going to see a fan base that, you know, is passionate, just like the Ottawa Senators fan base. It's passionate. And what you're going to see is when the game starts, is you're going to see a brilliant young player, and his name is Jake Sanderson. And, you know, I compare Jake to Mark Edward Vlasic heading into his draft year. And, you know, Mark Edward Vlasic's a really strong NHL defenseman. Well, I can tell you what, again, goes back to assessment, right? Like, you know, I think, you know, it wasn't that he wasn't going to contribute to the offense. I just didn't think he was going to have those offensive numbers. He's got a chance to be a real top notch number one defenseman. I thought he was a top pair. He very well is looking like a number one defenseman. And I think that's the progression. More points. You know, he's so competitive, and he's subtly competitive. You know, one of the things that I thought about when I was watching Jake, his skating is so exceptional, and his brain is so outstanding that he's one of those players that he can take the puck away from you and you don't even know he took it away from you. Like, you know, and Scott Niedermayer was like that. That's how Scott Niedermayer was. Scott Niedermayer just kind of, he took the puck from me and it was like, where did that puck go? what just happened there, right? Jake has that kind of subtlety to his game defensively, and you know, but he's big time competitive and a real top notch player, you know, in all regards. So you're going to see Tyler's a defensive defenseman. He's a big, strong, you know, take space, you know, defend space and move the puck up quickly. I think that's what his game is, and you know, you look at it, but you're going to see. I think when you're driving back from
hopefully on the road
from Grand Forks, well, hopefully on the road, because if you're not on the road, you won't be driving. you know, that's a bad sign. But you know, when you drive back from Grand Forks, I think you'll be really smiling, thinking about Jake Sanderson in an Ottawa Senators uniform, and you know what he'll do, and you know. You watch him. I mean, he'll be at the World Junior. I mean, he's going to be the captain of the World Junior team. There's no question he will be, in my mind. And, you know, he once the season ends for North Dakota, he'll switch his North Dakota jersey for an Ottawa Senators jersey. So, you know, as you get as the stretch in the NHL season comes and people will be watching, you know, where the Sens are in the standings, you know, they'll also get a chance to watch Jake play and make his debut, because he's going to be ready to step into the NHL. Going back this year, I think was a great step. And there's things you don't know, what the Ottawa Senators have gone through with the pandemic and you know, being shut down here for a period of time. You know, it doesn't help anybody to be part of it. You know, I mean, sometimes, like, you know, for the players that are there, what I mean is, it doesn't help a Jake Sanderson having to find his way in the NHL and be part of that. You know, where he's at is working out great. And, you know, the Senators get this behind them. He'll be able to come in there and really show what he's made of. So good luck, drive safe. And I'm telling you, if you don't have your winter tires on, don't go.
That's fair. That's some good advice there. And yeah, Craig, we're excited to watch Jake Sanderson, no matter what jerseys he's wearing. So that's just a treat to watch. Good. And now you mentioned him being on Team USA for the World Juniors. Someone where another Sens prospect we're hoping is going to be wearing an international jersey for the World Juniors is Ridly Greig for Team Canada. And final question for me here, Greig. What do you think his chances are of making that team? And if he does, what kind of role do you think he would play for them?
Well, here's what I would say. So, you know, I would say he's got 100% chance to make the team, because
of those odds.
Good player. Yeah. And
he's better than your parlays, Pilsy.
Yeah.
He's got an edge to his game. He's got an edge, and he's got real ability in so many different areas of the game. You know, I compared him to his style of game to Nazem Kadri. You know, and you know, when he was coming through, and Ridly is got real attention to detail. He can produce points. He can be an offensive threat, and he's no fun to play against. And whether it be penalty killing, whether it be, you know, going, you know, head to head with the other team's best player, you know, Ridley's going to dial into all those different areas of the game. And so to me, you know, we talked about locks, I guess everybody can say to me, like, there's no way there's 13 better forwards available to Canada than Ridly Greig. There's simply no way. I have them as a 100% lock for the team.
Awesome. That's a perfect way to end it off, Craig. We're going to be following your analysis, I'm sure, through the World Juniors as well, and leading up the draft. It's always a pleasure to chat with you on this show. Your insight really does add so much to what we do day in and day out. So thanks again. Really appreciate it. And I'm sure we'll do it again soon.
Yeah, no, Ross, it's always my pleasure to be with you guys. And thanks for reaching out. And you know what? I'll check the long-term weather forecast in Winnipeg. And hopefully I can find a balmy day to go see the ice where you can join me instead of being cuddled up with your blanket and not venturing outside when it's a little too cold. And just so you know, that'll happen in April.
Yeah, exactly. You're not going to risk it until then, and I don't blame you one bit. Yeah. We'll see you at Wayne Fleming Arena. Stick taps to Craig for joining us. Always appreciate his insight, and why do I have a feeling that we're going to be more and more intrigued by this 2022 draft class.
Yeah, I think we might have Craig on again, and maybe next time he updates the list, we'll have a better idea of how things are going. But we didn't want this to be a let's watch for next draft kind of season, but it's looking that way, Ross.
At least he gave us some great news, both on Jake Sanderson saying that he believes he has the ability to step right into the NHL and contribute, and that Ridly Greig, 100% lock for Craig Button for the World Junior. So we love to hear that. We love Craig's analysis. You can go check out his Craigslist at tsn.ca. Speaking of TSN, Pilsy, we're going right back there tomorrow. Why don't you tee up what we have on tomorrow's Locked On Senators?
Yeah, this was a great day for interviews, and we had the pleasure of speaking with another friend of the show, Cheryl Pounder. She was
just emailed me and said, had fun. So hope you guys enjoyed as well.
There we go. That's awesome. And we had fun talking with Cheryl. She's always a great time. And
so much energy.
Yeah, a lot of energy. And good timing, too, for her with the Hockey Hall of Fame induction, as she was teammates with the first ever female goaltender in the Hall of Fame, Kim St. Pierre. So definitely stick around for those stories.
Goalie friendly show. You love to see that. And Kim St. Pierre was a legend of the game. So was Cheryl Pounder. Seven-time gold medal between the World Championships and the Olympics. So stay tuned for that. She's also been a TSN analyst. You've seen her on the regional Senators broadcast. So we get into what the defensive deficiencies have been of this team. Of course, she was a staunch defensive defenseman herself. So all that coming up tomorrow. But for today, we say goodbye. I hope you enjoyed our chat with Craig Button. For Brandon Piller, I'm Ross Levitan. This has been the Locked On Senators podcast, your team every day.